97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Speaking of that, you know, we often say, why the hell do we want it hotter, especially in the summer? It was relatively nice this morning. Sue, you out in the morning?
Well, I was up, and man, it was 68.2 degrees in our front bush.
That's,
you know,
pretty good for July,
yeah.
I would say, you know, given the nature of what we had in the last couple of weeks. So we get a little relief here, at least for a couple of days. You know, Fair St. Louis is coming up. They call it Celebrate St. Louis. Tim Mears is with us this afternoon to talk about some of the highlights. Hi, Tim. How are you? Welcome back to 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, thanks for having me back, and very glad to be here.
I want to play the Superman theme because I was unaware of this. Sue, do you know about the drone show that's going
what?
On with Celebrate
no.
St. Louis? So this is a kind of association with a hometown hero, James Gunn. It was a great filmmaker, Guardians of the Galaxy, did a lot of movies. He's got Superman coming up a week from today, I think it opens technically. And you guys are doing a cool drone show for Celebrate St. Louis. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we're super excited to bring a show of this magnitude the first time downtown St. Louis on the 4th of July. We're going to see a great drone show, you know, sponsored with Warner Brothers Productions, as you said, highlighting the Superman movie. I think we're going to see Superman fly across the sky right there in front of the arch.
That is so cool.
We've seen some of these, I think, at the Super Bowl and some other big events. It's kind of amazing. Fred, we've even had a drone expert come on here and kind of explain how it works. Tim, can you explain a little bit more about how it works, how many drones are involved, what the visuals will be? Is that what it's going to be, Superman basically flying over the arch?
Yeah, so we've got a great drone company called Fantasy Drone Show, and they are going to be launching 400 drones up into the sky, which is a great number to have a really good visual on a lot of the imagery from the Superman movie. So I think that's the anticipation that we'll see Superman make his flight there right over the arch grounds right before the fireworks. So you're going to go transition from our closer that evening on the band, go into drone show, and then right into fireworks.
Is Mr. James Gunn involved in this at all, or does he know about it? Do you know? Are you aware? Because he tweets still about St. Louis every once in a while. He used to follow me on Twitter. I think my politics got involved, so he doesn't do that anymore. But do you know if he knows that we're doing this here?
In fact, he does.
Yeah.
He was part of the team that reached out to us initially several months ago, and you wanted to see if this was possible, and we were really pleased to be able to work with him to make it happen.
I love
That's
it.
Awesome.
I thought maybe the answer would be yes, because he still cares a lot about St. Louis.
He does.
All right. So some of us go way back to the VP Fair and seeing Elton John dressed up as a cop, and you know, I was on the stage. This is one of my great memories. I was on the stage with Chuck Berry at a VP Fair when I was just like 18 years old. But now this has kind of morphed into something a little bit different. Celebrate St. Louis. What else is going on? It's different than a lot of us remember, right?
Well, I think what you'll find is a lot of things that are familiar because we're down on the arch grounds. We've got a great stage right there at the bottom of the grand staircase that's going to be framed by the Gateway Arch, of course. We've got a great two nights of music. We've got Russell Dickerson that'll be closing the night out on the 3rd, and Gavin DeGraw will be our closer and headliner for the 4th. And we've got a couple really other good bands that people are very interested in. We got Stir that'll be coming in, which is the St. Louis local favorite, and then Steve Ewing from The Urge. He's bringing part of his band who will also be performing. Mm. And one of our staff favorites, we've got Dazed and Confused that'll be opening the night up with the music.
Give the website out if people want to know the entire schedule for this weekend.
Sure. So you want to go to CelebrateSt.Louis.org, all spelled out, and that's going to be your best place to kind of know before you go where to park, best way to get in, prohibited items, things that we sell, beverage, food. We got Sugar Fire, Steve's Hot Dogs, great food down on the riverfront as well.
Nothing against a good fireworks show, and St. Louis always does a great fireworks show, but I'll tell you what, the drone show really intrigues me, and I think that's going to be fascinating to see. Hopefully, it'd be great to get some national coverage on this. I would expect that right?
Well, we are. We've got a couple different national syndicates that will be down here. And just so the audience knows, we are one of the top 10 fireworks displays in the United States.
Awesome. I'm not surprised by that. Tim, thanks a lot for giving us the update here this afternoon.
Thank you so much.
I want to zip through a couple of things. One of the other 4th of July traditions is the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest.
Oh, yeah.
Joey Chestnut has been in the studio with me a couple of different times. Jane and I even at one point did a hot dog eating contest. She beat me by, we each got about a half hot dog down. That was it. Like Joey puts like 22 or 23 down in 2 minutes. We barely get any down. But remember the story from last year, right?
Yeah, he couldn't do it.
He could not do it. He is back in. I don't know the circumstances of this, but this is George Shea. George Shea is the guy who is the announcer. He's basically the guiding force, if you will, of the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest. He's been on the show many times. He created this for me many years ago. I think we still use it in one of the show opens.
It's go time. It's go time time. It's go, no go, lock and load, love him and leave him, smoke him if you got him, see him when I see it, because it's time for Mark Reardon time.
I love it. Now, he was very, we had him on last year. He was very diplomatic about Joey. He didn't rip Joey at all. There was some sponsor issues. I can't even remember the context of the whole thing,
because
right?
Joey was working for that sponsor that was not real meat or that sort of thing, and they didn't want him in it, but somehow this year he's in it.
Well, he will explain that to us a little bit later this hour, and that'll be a lot of fun. I want to do one music thing very quickly, because, and Sue, I think this basically applies to you more than Fred, because, well, I'll explain in a second. So there's a bumper music piece that I played, and one of my favorite songs right now is by an artist that goes by the name of Joe, but it's spelled D-J-O, all right?
Yeah.
So but it's Joe, and this song is called Basic Being Basic. Quick example, cause you wanted the hits. I think you're scared of being. I love the hook on this here. That's ironic, cause so I'm in my kitchen the other night, and I'm playing some music, and my son from Chicago is here, and he hears that song, and I'm like, yeah, I really like this stuff from this Joe guy. Do you know who that is?
No.
It's the dude who plays Steve in Stranger Things.
What?
His name is Joseph David Keery.
My beloved Steve.
Yes, this is Steve. And by the way, that's not the only
that
good song. Well, I like it a lot. It might not be up to
wow.
you. If you heard the whole song, lyrically, it's really a brilliant song. And this is a different one. So I like the dude.
You go, Steve.
And here's the thing about it. Typically, my response is, what's funny is I heard an interview with him a few weeks ago on SiriusXM, but I didn't make the connection. I thought it was Finn Wolfhard, one of the other guys.
Yeah.
And my reaction was, oh, my God, here we go, another actor who wants to be a rock star, like Kevin Bacon, and it hasn't worked out. Even Kevin Costner, who came in one time and he forced me to play one of his songs, and he was very happy I played one of his songs. It wasn't that great of a song. So it does kind of annoy me when actors want to become rock stars.
Yeah.
But I think if you heard the entire song of Basic Being Basic, it is a little different alternative, but the lyrics are incredible, and the hook is really good on that song as well. But I felt so, maybe the word is old, because I didn't know it was Steve from Stranger Things, and I think he's pretty good. And he's one of those guys that's blown up right now because Basic Being Basic is a hit, and that other song I played is called End of the Beginning. So there's a lot of people that booked him for shows. I don't know if he's scheduled to come to St. Louis, but what happens is when an artist blows up like that, you know, you have him at a particular venue, and then the interest level is so high, the demand is so high, they move him up a step. So, for example, let's say they booked him at the Duck Room or Del Mar Hall, and then all of a sudden, wow, he's this big. If the date's open, he's going to play at the Pageant.
That's
what's
cool.
happening with Steve from Stranger Things.
Then
by the time we see the show in November and December, Steve from Stranger Things is going to be like 40 years old, right?
Yes.
I played that audio yesterday from your friend and mine, Hank Lena, who's got the coffee truck out in Washington, Missouri, who is a native New Zealander who became a U.S. citizen earlier this year, and he's such a proud American, and he's so excited, Sue, about his first Independence Day on Friday.
That's so great.
He sent a little video out that he shared with me. We played some of the audio yesterday, but Hank is going to join us here at the bottom of the hour and be a proud American, and in some ways, I think, a more proud American than some Americans in this country. We love his story. It's fantastic. Just the love story in and of itself is kind of a movie, but his process of moving from New Zealand, realizing some of the rights and the freedoms that he had here were so dramatically different from New Zealand, you wouldn't even think that that's possible. You'd think New Zealand and Australia wouldn't be that bat blank crazy on some of the stuff, but they were, especially during COVID. So Hank is coming up at the bottom of the hour, then George Shea from the Nathan's Famous Hot Dog Eating Contest.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No. And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Wasn't George Shea on my side of the whole ketchup on hot dog thing?
Oh, yeah, he was.
Okay.
He definitely was.
Because
It was a no vote. I was a yes vote. He was a no vote.
Okay, just checking. Happy National Disco Day, huh? National Made in the USA Day, because it's almost the 4th of July. We want to stuff made in the U.S. And National Lint Awareness Day. You might want to tell Joyce.
Why?
I don't know.
Well, I cleaned some of that out of my dryer today, so I was very aware.
That might be it. that you're supposed to check the dryer line and make sure, because apparently it could cause fires.
Well, if we're being honest, not everyone in my household probably empties the lint tray as much as they possibly could. I don't know if my wife's listening right now. And then my son came into town. I mentioned that he did some laundry. I don't think they cleaned out the lint tray, so I'm kind of the lint tray guy. But he can build up and not be good.
We are good lint tray cleaners. How's that going in the Bottenheimer house?
I'm on it.
Yeah, okay, good.
Well, the clothes doesn't dry efficiently if you don't clean that thing out, right?
Yeah.
That's part of the issue.
Plus it's just, you know, it's not good. It's not efficient.
And I like scraping it and balling it all up.
Yeah, there is something satisfying.
That's a little weird, Fred, but I'll go with it. I'll roll with it.
I get it.
You can also use all that lint, like in... It helps get a fire started sometimes. They say,
are you serious?
You can toss it into the fireplace.
Well, no, wait, boy, so it really is flammable.
There you go.
What? I've never heard that before.
He's like Fire Starter Junior.
No
kidding. Did you see his little eyes get lit up
there?
Have
you been on Survivor with the fire making challenge or something?
No.
That's crazy. Can you pull it out of your belly button too?
Oh my gosh. You could try that in the absence of, you know, little firewood starters.
Yeah, Flint, right.
Thank you, Flint.
Flint instead of Flint. Look at that.
I'm just going to mention this because, doggone it, it's almost the 4th of July. 249 years ago, in 1776, the Continental Congress passed a resolution, quote, "These united colonies are, and of right, ought to be, free and independent states." The final draft of the Declaration of Independence was adopted 2 days later on the 4th of July.
It's a big year coming up.
It
we have a big 250th, you know, anniversary. President Trump is going to throw a big party. Hank Lena is going to highlight his passion for this country coming up here. But it's important, as I indicated yesterday, to remember why we celebrate on Friday.
It is. And 88 years ago, you know, I find this still interesting today. In 1937 is when Amelia Earhart and her navigator Fred Noonan disappeared over the Pacific Ocean while attempting to make the first round-the-world flight at the equator. And there are several books about, you know, here's what might have happened, but no one definitively knows. They never found anything.
Now you hear a story every once in a while, hey, we think we found something.
Yeah, and then it turns out to be.
Yeah, right.
Okay, and then 45 years ago today in 1980, this movie was released.
Captain, how soon can you land?
I can't tell.
You can tell me, I'm a doctor.
No, I mean, I'm just not sure.
Or can't you take a guess?
Well, not for another 2 hours.
You can't take a guess for another 2 hours?
No. I mean, we can't land for another 2 hours. Fog has closed down everything this side of the mountains. We've got to get through to Chicago.
There you have it, people. Fred, that movie would be...
Airplane.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes.
Yeah, Airplane.
Airplane
1, right?
Okay.
That's great.
You listen to that audio, though. Doesn't it sound like it's ancient? And it was only 1980, and then I go, okay, maybe that is a long time.
I hate to tell you, that is kind of ancient. We lost Leslie Nielsen, I had to Google this, in 2010, so he's been gone for 15 years already.
Wow.
Yeah, hard to believe.
2010? I would not have guessed that.
I do remember at one point, now my kids were younger, but that was on the television, and they were, you know, maybe even Alexa's age, 10 years old and 12 years old, and they were laughing their you-know-what's off at that movie. So I think it still might hold up a little bit.
Well, yeah, there are parts of it that you think, well, I don't know. I mean, the woman, the Leave It to Beaver mom who says, I speak jive. You know, there's stuff like that in there you wonder about. But for the most part, it's kind of entertaining. Hallmark, this is for Fred. Hallmark Channel's annual Christmas in July programming kicks off Saturday. Fred, don't you like those movies?
I do.
Yeah, and it'll include reruns of fan favorites as well as new docuseries. And this series is about last year's inaugural Christmas cruise, which was full of Hallmark superfans. I didn't know that was a thing, but you could go on that cruise.
Oh, you know who's going to be on that cruise?
David Klein.
David Klein,
that's
producer emeritus. He loves the Hallmark movies. It's unbelievable. He had his man card removed many, many years ago.
Oh, wait, that's kind of adorable. Don't you think?
Or maybe not.
Okay, fine.
Not my thing, the Hallmark movies.
Well, yeah, they are predictable. What? The train went off the tracks in a small town, and now this busy businesswoman will stay there for 2 months and fall in love with the owner of the bakery and live happily ever
after. He's always really good looking.
Yeah? What? Everybody?
All the characters.
Oh, yeah.
All the characters.
Oh, yeah. That's true. All right. Fred found this story, and I was fascinated. It's not good.
Okay.
Thanks for giving me
credit. It's not good news. A 12-year-old boy, 12, in Michigan, was arrested for allegedly stealing multiple cars from a local business. Okay, if you're 12, what are you, 6th grade or 7th? Are you right in there? 6, 7, 7, 8, 8, 9. Yeah.
Alexa's 10. She's going into 5th grade. So, yeah, you're 7th grader probably. Yeah.
Oakland County Sheriff Michael Bouchard expressed concern about the boy's behavior, stating, "This young man is on a very bad path, attempting to live his own Grand Theft Auto." And the juvenile suspect reportedly stole 3 or 4 vehicles from a business in Pontiac, Michigan, and sold them, at least one of them, for $30.
Okay, let me, maybe I'm wrong about this, but what I was going to say, my instincts kicked in because when I had my home burglarized, by the way, twice in the city of St. Louis, the second time we know for sure because the cops actually caught him, it was a kid, like a little 14-year-old, 15-year-old kid that slid through the back window door. But he wasn't running the crew. So, you know, the people who run the crews, they know that the kids are going to juvie, that they're not going to get sentenced. So a lot of times they use these kids in that particular fashion. On the other hand, that's a bad negotiation if he's only getting $30 for the car,
right?
Okay?
That's the only thing that makes me think maybe that wasn't, or maybe he went rogue.
Yeah, maybe he was just doing it as a hobby.
So, oh, and he was driving them off the lot, I guess.
I guess.
Wow. Well, look, Fred, 12-year-old kids can be pretty, you know, pretty big these days.
Oh, can they really?
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
Like Becky was with someone who was a friend the other day, and their kid was only like 12 or 13 years old, and he was, you know, almost 6 feet tall.
Holy cow.
Right.
When apprehended by police, the boy was found entering numerous vehicles on a parking lot and carrying a license plate, and he's being held at Oakland County Children's Village. Sheriff's Office commended the deputies for stopping the criminal behavior and preventing further thefts. I guess he was only hitting one business parking lot.
See, he needed a new crime plan. He did need a crew. Maybe he was going rogue for sure.
Yes. All right, it's 4th of July, and I didn't realize all the firework names are completely insane. The Boot came out with an insane list of some of the most ridiculous in honor of the 4th. There's Unicorn Puke, Big American, Laser Kitties, Redneck Finale, and then there is a little bit from Joe Dirt, and he lifts off a couple more of them. It kind of made me laugh.
So you're going to tell me that you don't have no black cats? No Roman candles or screaming memes? You don't got no lady fingers, fuzz buttles, snicker bombs, church burners, finger blasters, gut busters, zippity doodahs, or crap flappers? You're gonna stand there and tell me you don't have no whistling bungholes, no spleen splitters, whisker biscuits, honky lighters, hoosker doos, hoosker don'ts, cherry bombs, nips of dazers, with or without the scooter stick, or one single whistling kitty chaser?
Sue and Fred, I invite you to take a journey over the next couple of days. Now, I live in St. Louis County, but I live very close to the Jeffco line, and you can't go like even a quarter of a mile without seeing a fireworks stand right now that have all those names that they just rattle off.
That is hilarious.
So there's a lot. Look, people in my neighborhood, they go crazy. And even though we're in St. Louis County, no one seems to ever crack down on them. But they're almost like professional fireworks shows that some of these folks put on.
You know what? Yes. And some get so into it out in the field. Where are you going, Fred? Was it you who went out
to
the field?
I don't know.
Last year?
Oh, last year. It was one way out.
Yeah. You're talking about Innsbruck?
In St. Albans. Yeah, Innsbruck.
Yeah.
But I think that one might have been canceled last year.
Oh,
because
okay.
Of the weather.
But this year, I'm doing it over at the Grizzlies. We're doing it Friday night at the Grizzlies.
That's nice.
For the
fireworks
display.
Well, you get some fireworks there. Oh, and finally in Sue's news, Sue just paid attention to the time. We have today's random fact. I'm not sure. Okay, you got to pay attention, though. Hawaii has the record for the highest low temperature and the lowest high temperature in the U.S. Its all-time low was 15. All-time high was only 100. So it really is in a fairly temperate area when you compare it to the rest of the U.S. Does your brain hurt? That's it for Susan.
Yeah. The 15 must have happened like on the volcano or like up high or something like that, right?
I guess.
Yeah, that's true.
They have mountains.
I would not want to vacation during the 15, that's for sure. But it is beautiful in Hawaii. Hank Lena and his great American story during Independence Day week is coming up next on 97.1 FM Talk. Much credit goes to Sue Thomas, who introduced me and the show and the audience to this next guy, Hank Lena. And Hank sent this video out yesterday and he shared it with me.
Hello, fellow Americans. I've been waiting to say that. So 249 years ago, a group of men put their signatures to a document to make this country independent. And on the 31st of January this year, as many of you know, I put my John Hancock to a document to accept that I become an American citizen. Oh man, one of the greatest honors I've ever had in my life. It's a great feeling. In fact, we're going to celebrate it because this Friday is my very first Independence Day as an American citizen. So Melanie and I would love to buy you all a coffee this Friday. Come on down and have one on us. And let's celebrate this great nation built on great values and great people. God bless America. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, he slips the capitalism in there, doesn't he? The coffee truck's going to be down near the JCPenney in Washington. Hank is on the phone with us. We don't mind giving you a free plug because your story is so awesome and we're such fans. How are you this afternoon?
Hey, Mark. I'm very well, thank you. I wish I had to turn my stereo off when I did that, but Born Free is actually...
Hey, we can work on the audio quality in the future if you want us to take that over. We'll make sure that the production value is better. But look, I love the message. And, you know, you've shared your story before. Just quickly, briefly, tell people how you got here to the U.S. and you became a United States citizen earlier this year.
Well, many years ago, I was here in the States and I met my beautiful wife, and Melanie, and long story short, after a very short romance, we married and lived 10 years in New Zealand. And after COVID, we decided, let's make our future in America. And so many opportunities there and so many things we believe in. And so we moved here and went through the whole green card process. It was long, arduous, expensive, but well worth it. And then became an American citizen this year. And I feel really good. And I'm... I can guess you can say I'm living the dream. The whole Declaration of Independence gave us freedom for life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, and that's what I'm doing.
And what you do now is kind of describe the coffee truck, because that's become quite popular, right?
Yeah, so I was too young to retire, so I decided I need to do something, and Melanie's doing extremely well in her career, and so I needed to fill my own time. So I wanted to actually build a brand more than a coffee truck. And so I came up with the Just Hanks brand with a courthouse in it. And it's just as in upright and righteous and serving the deserving. And coffee was just the answer. It was perfect. And I love coffee and I love making it. So I went forward and made an old trailer that was built in 69. And I used that for a year or 2 years almost. And now I have a couple of brand new ones. And they're really nice to work out of. And we've been growing and growing and growing. And we're living here in Washington, where we absolutely love it.
Hank, do you have other people working at different trucks? In other words, do you have three trucks out all at the same time? Or is it you driving around and then parking, and that's where you are for the day?
Well, hi, Sue. Well, for the most, it's just, you know, Hank. But Melanie is doing more and more. She's busy, but she's running to work a couple of days a week. So really cool little team of, you know, they help when they can. Gracie Ziegler, who's so dear to us, and whenever she can jump in the trailer, she will. And I've got a good mate, Mark Willeman, who will help us with anything we ask for. But for the most, it's me and Melanie on Wednesdays. And as we keep going, we've got the two trailers working. We know the right people that just fit that, you know, Just Hank's whole thing will appear. They will just come. I'm not going to advertise. I'm in no hurry. We've got more than we need, and we're very happy. And when people come along, I want to, you know, mentor them in, and hopefully one of them can actually have a sense of ownership and run a trailer. So, yep, that's where we're at. Well, for me, I'm doing 7 days a week. I actually took a day off last week.
Ooh. Oh, and that's historic. Well, look, when I talked about yesterday, I referred to a column that was in the Wall Street Journal that I was a big fan of by Andy Kessler. And, you know, I made this very clear in the fall when the presidential election was going on. I did not trust, nor did I want Kamala Harris to shepherd us into our 250th anniversary, the sesquicentennial, next year. And what Andy Kessler wrote is, just after his inauguration, Donald Trump signed an executive order declaring a grand celebration for the 250th anniversary, beyond parades and fireworks and funnel cakes. Defining the American identity is lost in the woods. It's more than football or Beyonce or Marvel movies or Caitlin Clark, let alone B-2 bombers and bunker busters. He said, for me, and I think, Hank, this is where there's relatability with your story, it starts with freedom, individualism, a nation of builders, American for entrepreneurs, if you will, a certain ruggedness and resilience with an extra large dollop of dignity, caring, and giving. And he says Martin Luther King Jr. thought the American dream required a tough mind and a tender heart. Andy Kessler said, I like that. I like it as well. I think you like it too, Hank Lena.
I do like that very much. And what I love about being here is you never have to be political in what I'm doing, because, you know, like, and I never bring politics in, because it doesn't matter who you want to back or vote for. A beautiful view is a beautiful view. A good meal is a good meal. Good neighbors are good neighbors. And so we can all be harmonious and be entrepreneurial, like you said, as well. So
I saw something this morning. I actually took a picture of this because it's kind of sad when you think about it. And I usually address this issue when I'm talking about younger people. And I don't know if I have the age breakdown here, but if you look at some numbers from, and this is just from 2024, okay? Are you proud of your country today? With independence, the number was 42% last year.
I saw that.
Yeah. Okay, It's 44% today. Republicans, it was 36% last year. Are you proud of your country? Today, it's 85%. But on the Democrat side, it's reversed. In 2024, it was 55%. Now, it's just 36%. So that shows you that 36% number was exactly the same for Republicans. But it's sad that politics has to get involved here because, to your point, Hank, we should all have, no matter what our political differences are, a deep appreciation for the, you know, the liberty and the freedom that we enjoy that so many, I will say, billions of people on the planet simply do not have. And I think we've lost that appreciation. The greatest generation has faded. Young people, because they're being indoctrinated, don't have the appreciation. I don't know where that takes us, because we need more stories like yours, Hank, in my opinion, and I don't think we're getting enough of those right now.
I know, and I get people coming up to me in my trailer and say, where are you from? I'm from New Zealand. Why did you come here? And I just have to bite my lip and say, oh, because my wife's from here. But really, what I want to say, I'm here because of everything that you can be proud of. Put the military aside for a second. Look at the agriculture in this country. Look at sports in this country. Look at education in this country. What, you know, you can be studied to be anything. Look at the arts. I mean, look at the recreation and how well it's managed. Look at every small town that has a city hall for code. How proud they are of their little towns. I mean, yeah, that's why I'm here. And I don't, because I love my customers, but I would love to say to them, well, if it's that bad, what are you doing to change it?
That's a great way to turn that around. But put this, because back during COVID, and some of this stuff was horrifying, I remember highlighting things that were happening in Australia and New Zealand. And I mean, we thought we had it bad here. And by the way, for a while, I think we did. And in fairness, in the first, you know, 2 weeks to the cure or whatever to slow the spread, that was one thing, right? Because we all didn't know what was going on, and there was a lot of mystery about COVID. But it got well beyond that very quickly. And then you look at your country, where it got just crazy. They were basically imprisoning people.
That's right. Yep, that's right. We were. We were stuck in the house. We could go to the supermarket, but you had to, you know, stand on the footsteps, and you couldn't come close to anybody. But if you did other things, like just go out and play on the sidewalk and kick a football, the police and the government encouraged you, your neighbors, to call the police
that's
to
crazy.
Get you off
oh
the
my
street.
God. It's crazy. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
they took away our Bill of Rights so that police didn't need a warrant to come into your house. I've told you this in case you're having a COVID party or something, you know. And it got a little bit stressful. I got followed by the police just when I drove across town, and it didn't make us feel good. And you know, we know that if you travel to New Zealand, you had to go into quarantine for 3 weeks in an army guarded hotel at your expense of about $3,500.
Wow!
You couldn't leave your room.
Oh my
God. You couldn't leave your room.
But the
whole thing is now, years later, after the borders finally opened, everybody's immunity was shot to pieces, and everybody is getting sick with flu, cold, coughs, and COVID. In fact, just yesterday I called one of my best friends in New Zealand because he's a grandfather. He can't go and see his grandkid because he's got COVID. The country that fought
you've
it so
hard. You've got to be
kidding
me. You've got to be kidding. Yeah. So this, the madness, that was going to be one of my follow-up questions, but the madness continues. Sue, you had something you wanted to say.
Yeah, Hank, what's your favorite part, Ben, so far of being an American? Do you have what stands out to you?
Actually, that's a good question. There's so much, Sue, but I had one of those real good feel-good moments. I was just driving, and I saw two kids about 12 years old. walking. They had jeans on, T-shirts, baseball caps, Converse shoes, and they had fishing rods. And they were walking probably to the lake here in town to do some fishing. And I thought, look at those two kids. They don't have a worry in the world.
Yeah.
Not at all. And that made me feel like this is home. Just the simple fact that those kids were not worrying about where are my parents, what are we eating tonight, will we have dinner on the table tonight, you know. They just had this not a care in the world look, and that's what how I like to live.
Yeah.
And seeing that was backed me up that I'm in the right place.
I told the story. I always like talking about Uber drivers, and there was a guy from Ghana who gave me an Uber ride about a month ago, and we were talking about America. He had an American flag on his cap. He was wearing it backwards, and I just started engaging with him, and he was so proud to be here and to become a citizen. He had been here for 10 years at this point, and you know, I asked him about some of the things that we take for granted, and one of the things that he brought up, I think I may have mentioned this yesterday, is you know, when you go to turn on your faucet, water actually comes out of your faucet, right?
Yeah.
Something that we take for granted, but simple things like that, where a lot of people on the planet just simply don't have that. So how are you celebrating your first official Independence Day in this country on Friday?
I'm going to make some coffee. We're going to have the trailer. We're going to have the trailer open in the JCPenney parking lot. And we want all of our customers and people we don't know, it doesn't matter who you are, come on down and have a coffee on us. And we would love to make everybody a coffee. We don't want any money for it. We just feel good. We want to make everybody that made it possible for me. Yeah. And in fact, you know, I learned if you embrace your community and you're good for them, they're good for you as well. And now it's our turn to say thank you, guys. And today is my first Independence Day, and this is how I want to celebrate it. And we live at a spot in town where all the fireworks goes off above our house. So it's going to round off to be a great day. I'm sure of it.
Hank Lena, you are a great American, and you are an inspiration to everyone. I so appreciate what you're doing. I love your story. You know how much I love your story. And thanks for joining us this afternoon.
Thank you so much, right, Mark. And I haven't forgotten about the football, buddy.
Which part of that?
You were going to take me to a game.
Oh, that's right.
Well, we have to go to a Chiefs game, right? I did forget about that. All right, you better keep me. Hold that on the line for sure. So we started a little bit this afternoon talking about the Diddy trial and the split verdict. Brad Young was talking about it. There was some thought earlier this morning by some of the experts that said that maybe they would release him on bail, but they've denied that, right?
They have. USA Today and many other sources saying he has been denied bail. And I'm sure they'll release more as this comes out.
I think that's probably a good thing.
Yes.
I was actually surprised at how many people thought they were going to let him out. But, I mean, just based on the way the verdict went down, maybe that's where they were basing it on. So this next guy we love because he did this for me many years ago.
It's go time. It's go time time. It's go, no go, lock and load, love him and leave him, smoke him if you got him, see him when I see him, because it's time for Mark Reardon time.
That is George Shea. You're going to hear him and see him at the annual 4th of July Nathan's Hot Dog eating contest. He is the Major League Eating chairman. He's the voice of the event. He's the guy that puts it all together. George, how are you this afternoon? Welcome back.
I'm doing very well. Thank you for having me.
I remember last year, one of the storylines, and we asked you about this, and you were very diplomatic, if I remember. Joey Chestnut was not part of last year's contest, and you moved on. You still had a great contest. I watched it live. It's always fun to see. It's become an American tradition, if you will. But he's back, I hear, this year, isn't he?
Yes. So we talked with him and his people all summer last year and up until the 4th. And, we, you know, there was a good conversation, but we did not get it done. And then we were able to continue talking throughout the year. And it took a long time, but, you know, we all came together. It was very positive. And Joey is going to make a triumphant return on the 4th of July.
That is outstanding news, and we're really happy to hear that. So one of the things I love about what you do, and I think you've shared some of the method to your madness before, you do these amazing introductions for all of these contestants. And I can't remember what you've told me in the past, but you work these up in your mind. You're not reading from a script when you do it, right?
No, I'm literally sitting here now memorizing those, like, or trying my weak old brain. I memorize them. I write them and memorize them.
But that's got to be a little hard. I mean, I've always been impressed. I don't know how actors do it because some actors, by the way, I think they don't do very well. Directors will tell you that. But, I mean, you have so much in so many contestants. Tell us about this year's contest. Is there any new aspects? Handicap the race, if you will, for us as well, George Shea.
Okay, so in the women's contest, Mickey Sudo is coming back. She has won 10 times. She's seeking her 11th championship. she has the female world record, which would be, for until a couple of years ago, the world record for all at 51 hot dogs and buns in 10 minutes. So it's very likely that she's going to win the female contest. And last year when Joey was out, there was talk of her joining the men's contest because people thought she might win that. So she's fantastic. She's ready to go. I saw her today. We were all volunteering at the food bank for New York City.
Awesome.
And she was there. In the men's contest, you've got Joey Chestnut, triumphant return, clearly coming on a tear, right? Wants to make a big statement, I suspect. And I saw him today at the Today Show, very good, you know, looking very healthy, very fit, very ready to go. Patrick Bertoletti last year ate 58 hot dogs and buns to win. A good 5-6 hot dogs and buns ahead of everybody else.
Right.
However, even though Patrick is said to have been upping his numbers, very few people believe that he could up them enough to get into the 70 range and put a threat on Joey Chestnut.
One of the things, I'm cross-checking some things here, Sue. I'm on the ESPN page, and where it says, where and when can you watch the hot dog eating contest? Listen to this. They have the times of the women's contest on ESPN3. Then they have the Mickey Sudo cam at 11 a.m. They have the men's contest at ESPN2. They have the Joey Chestnut cam. Is that new, where they're actually just isolating Joey on ESPN3? That's amazing, George Shea.
I had not even heard about that, but this is what technology allows us.
Yeah, because I guess they do this with, you know, Wimbledon and some of the other events that are going on right now. So you can, if you just want to watch Mickey Sudo, you can do that on ESPN3 at 11 a.m. Actually, I think that's 10 a.m. Central Time. The Joey Chestnut cam starts at 11:30 Central Time. The main event then re-airs at 5 p.m. and 9 p.m. I mean, the coverage that you guys get of this, and it's because there's so much interest in this, is just amazing these days, George. Saying much credit, I think, to you to build this whole thing over the years as well.
Well, you know, it's become part of the holiday, and, you know, we do a lot of work on this, but the work has sort of compiled or snowballed over the years, and there's just enormous momentum behind this. We get calls all the time, but, you know, 5 more calls today from folks saying we want a media pass. You know, there are hundreds of media at the event itself. So, yeah, there's enormous interest. ESPN is a great way to watch it because you get the packages on the eaters and you get to see they have a bunch of cameras and you can really see the action live. You get this sort of spectacular environment, very silly, very fun Coney Island vibe and just enormous excitement. It's like being at Madison Square Garden, which is really second to none. We would be, I think, second to Madison Square Garden in that energy level, but you don't have as good a view as you would watching on ESPN when you can really see what's happening.
You know, I've told you this before, and this is true, and I think, Sue, you're on the same page. I used to eat different type of hot dogs. I really did. The ones that have the Wienermobile, if you will. I will never go back because Nathan's Famous is so good. And
best.
I'm not saying that just because George is here, but I was so turned into that direction, probably because of you. And, you know, you brought Joey in one year into the studio, and it's an amazing product. So have fun with this. I know you will. We'll be watching. I'm watching live on Friday. There's no doubt about it. Thank you, George Shea.
Thank you.
All right, take care. Happy 4th of July.
Get more at 971talk.com.